talk about the courageous prayer of Jabez. Jabez prayed a specific prayer, and I really believe tonight as we look at this, this prayer is for each one of us. Although it is a scripture and it's a story about a guy and an incident that takes place. But as we go through this tonight, you're going to begin to realize how powerful our prayers really are. Amen. Yes. Kijk, as ons almal nou nie glo dat jou gebede kragtig is nie, hoekom bid jy dan, man? Moenie bid nie asseblief dan. Why do we pray? We pray because for most of us is maar a lekker gewoonte en dankie Here is 'n goeie gewoonte. But it's more than just that, because when you begin to speak, God's attentive to your talking to Him. And you'll see that tonight. You know, James 5:16 says this, the B portion. He says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful, and listen, effective. Hallelujah. So we need to pray with faith, believing this God that we're talking to. It's so amazing. So I want to just share this with you before we talk about this actual prayer, this courageous prayer that he prayed, because it was a courageous prayer. And being our theme, courage, over these last couple of weeks, we've just been looking at different things in the area of being courageous in our life. And I believe this is one area where we as individuals need to be courageous. Bruce Wilkinson, who wrote a book about this, he said this, it's not surprising. The place we are most likely to experience testing, anybody going through some testing right now? Can I get us your hands? Come on, be honest. You're going through some testing. Okay. Now this is for you, because now listen to this. Because we are most likely to experience testing, that testing is exactly where we struggle most to trust God. Because you see, God is intent for you to become better, to become more dynamic, and to walk in the fullness of the way He has planned for your life. And many times the testings of our problems and the things we're going through is God speaking to us to kind of get our attention. So this guy, Jabez, we know about him in the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, a man who had courage enough to pray a prayer that changed his life, and the fact that his life changed, the people that connected with his life were also changed. And can I say this? When God begins to touch your life, you are not just touched for you. I've always said it. When God saved you, He had others in mind. And so when your life is touched and you're allowing God to touch you and you're praying righteous, powerful prayers, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, it is not for you. Because I always said it, and you've heard me preach this before. If God can get it through you, He'll get it to you. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to know that. So God will highlight your struggle to make you better. Tough stuff is designed to build us and not to discourage us. So when you're going through discouraging stuff that seems discouraging, see it as God building character on it. And hopefully next week, God's laid a word in my heart. I haven't prepared it because I'm not exactly sure where God wants to take me. But what I want to talk to you about next week is this. From the promise to the fulfillment of the promise, there's this little journey where we all climb off the boat. And we all take off ramps. And we don't get to our promise. Amen. So hopefully I'll be able to share something like that next week. But it's the truth. You see, each of us wants God's best for their life. Amen. We want you. We're just doing exercises here tonight. I like to do this as a pastor. So it makes me feel like I'm really talking to living human beings. They go, and I'll check you making moves there. But we want the best for ourselves. Listen to this. We want things like this: the best house, the best car. I'm not going to go there now because I'm confused. I don't know what's the best bike anymore. Suzuki, BMW, Kawasaki, KTM, Ducati. But we'll just end it on that moment. But what I want to say is, and you know what, I've said this before, the best motorbike you can own is the one you can afford. Amen. That's the best bike. But we want the best bike. We want the best job, and we want the best salary. Amen. I mean, that's what we want, but there's even greater things we need to have the best of. Listen, important things. The best marriage relationships. Amen. Yeah, we need to be working on those things. Best relationships with our children, with our families, and our church family. Amen. Those are the best things that we really need to come through and that we need from God. But can I say this to you tonight? That God wants the best for you. God really and truly wants the best for you. Listen to the Psalm 42, verse 11. The psalmist says this. This is like amazing stuff. He says, oh, my soul. I love my son. He loves saying this. When something strange happens, he says, oh, my soul. He's got away with words, my son, Clinton. But here's the psalmist. He says, oh, my soul. Now understand, he's talking to himself here because he's being confronted with an issue that is not so lucky here right now. And he says, oh, my soul. Now listen to what he says. Don't be what? Say it loud. Discouraged. And he says, don't be what? Upset. Don't be upset. Just buy a duck back. Upset. Be low set, happy. He's saying, don't be discouraged, oh my soul. Don't be upset, oh my soul. How's he going to get through it? The next three, four words. Expect God to act. That's coming to God in prayer, in your crisis, in your circumstance, in your situation. The prayer of the righteous availeth much power. Amen. So we pray that prayer because if we will just put our faith to work, church, listen to me, and begin to trust God, our outcome will be awesome. Your outcome will be awesome. So we can draw courage from the scriptures. Now, we've been using this scripture a couple of times. But in the light of this, just listen to this. He says, for whatever was thus written in the former days was written for our instruction. Paul is writing to the Romans church and he's telling them, whatever was written in the past was written so we can draw something from this. So isn't it so nice tonight for us? What Paul had written is up to then they knew what was written. But you and I have this wonderful book. It's called the Bible. And it's from Genesis to Revelation. We can open it up anywhere. And I hope you do open it up occasionally. Nah? Yeah. And you can read here. And so we can say this. For whatever was written in this Word of God that was written in the past was written for our instruction. Why? So that our steadfastness and patience and endurance and our encouragement that we draw from these scriptures, we might hold fast to cherish hope. So when we read what comes out of this word, it comes and encourages us and we hear it and we say, ek kan het doen. Maar om dit te doen, moet ek staan vastig bly en ek moet uithou vermoë hê en geduld. Amen. You see, that's where we fall off and I want to talk about that next week. God's busy building my sermon as I'm giving you a sermon. Yeah, this is wonderful, Lord Jesus. I want us to draw courage tonight from Jabez's life. How he got God's best. Amen. Are you happy to have that? Amen. Just juice up a quick, yeah. We're juicing up, eh? The good stuff. Municipal gin. Hallelujah. There's this amazing scripture in the Word of God. 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9 to 10. Just follow this. This courageous prayer of this man called Jabez. He has a man, they're not sure who's the writer of it. He's busy writing the genealogy of all the people of Judah. Friki was the son of Susara's cousin, Johannes Friki, Jans van der Rensburg, Pieterse. And so he's writing all of these names. And we'll talk about that just now. And then he gets to verse 9. And now he says, Jabez was an honorable man above his brothers. Boom, there's something about this dude, Jabez. But his mother named him Jabez. You know why she called him Jabez and what his name is? Sorrow maker, saying, because I bore him in pain. There was something not so positive about him. And whenever his name was mentioned, there would have been a kind of a negative connotation about him. Because there's power in a name when you study the Bible. Nah? And so it says, because I bore him in pain. But you see, he doesn't camp out at his defeated life or his negative life or the failures or the problems that went on in his life. Listen to this dude. Jabez cried to the God of Israel. What did he do? He went and prayed to. But let me just say this. He didn't go, Oh, Lord, I need this today. Thank you, Jesus, for that. No. He went into his inner room. He got on his knees. Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your inner room. Lock the door behind you. Your Father that sees in secret will, when you walk outside there, he will openly reward you, says the Bible. You see, we're not talking about busy, bossy gebekies. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon me, little child. Amen. No, I'm not talking about those wimpy prayers, man. I'm talking about prayers that move heaven and earth, man. The prayer of the righteous. Amen. Dat die spoeg spat as jy bid. En nie 'n gentle gebedjie nie. Sê, Here Jesus, hier kom ek, Here, en ek vat u vas in die troon van vandag, Here. Amen. I'm talking about that kind of prayer. Now this dude goes, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, and he says to him, Oh, that you would bless me, Lord, and that you will enlarge my border or my territory, and that your hand might be with me, Lord, and that you would keep me from evil. Why? So it might not hurt me, Lord. And just listen to the last part of that. And God granted his request. I want to tell you on the power of the Word of God. When you begin to pray prayers like these, God is going to grant your request. You see, when I read 1 Chronicles 4, there's this incredible long genealogy which I was talking about, which is interpreted by the author in order to point out a man named Jabez. And I just want to read to you today, because this is like very funny, because I can't even say this stuff here. Now it starts off, verse 3 is this genealogy, and it carries on in verse 4. And I'm going to read all of it because it'll bore every one of us. And most people read this stuff and you stop, so you miss Jabez. But please listen to this. I'm reading from verse 6, and verse 9 is where he talks about Jabez. So he starts with verse 6. He says, Nara. That's a dude's name. In us, it's like getting Nar or something. Nara bore him Ahuzam, Hepha, Temeni and Hashatari. These, they said they were Jewish. That sounds like Chinese, doesn't it? He says, these were the descendants of Nara, the sons of Hela, Zereth, Zuah, Ethan, and Koz, and the father of Anub and Hazaboah, and the clans of Arnal, the son of Huram. And then he starts off, boom, verse 9 and 10. And then he starts, verse 11. Kulab, Shuma, brother of the father of Mia, was the father. Please, can you hear this? He's giving this incredible genealogy here. And all of a sudden he stops and he remembers. And he finds it fit to put it in the Word of God so you and I can draw encouragement from the Scriptures. Are you hearing me tonight? So we hear this incredible thing that happens. Don't miss this guy, because this guy is special. 1 Chronicles 4:9 says, and Jabez was honorable above his brothers. What was it that he's giving this genealogy with all these names and who belonged to who in the zoo? And yeah, he pulls out all of a sudden this guy by the name of Jabez. And he says about Jabez, he was more honorable than his brothers. You see, he lived a life that people noticed, amen. Because if they didn't notice him, he would not be in the Bible, amen. But God put him in the Bible so we could see it. I want you to note the genealogy of this man, Jabez, is remembered. He became a powerful, God-inspired breakthrough, a deliverance, a victory. His life became a legacy. He was remembered amongst many families for his courageous prayer and his life change. That is why the man began to write on it. I just want you to follow something here, because what is really important, he's giving this genealogy and he's probably thinking in his mind when he talks about Hela, Zereth, Zuah, Ethan, and he thinks, yes, Ethan, you bet. Yes, he's always so complaining and moaning, and he's so Zurar, whatever the dude's name is. And you bet, altijd as ons die Here moet dien, ons altijd laat, dan kom hy nooit kerk toe nie. And you know, there's none of you now, that's the other oaks out there. But these were these oaks. And then all of a sudden he remembers this oak, Jabez. He was more honorable than all the brothers. And all of a sudden he realizes, man, there is something about this oak when I look at all these other people. This is incredible. Now I want you to note something. Yeah, please listen to this. A family tree, our genealogy, Oma Goriki and Yaki Komons. In many families, They marked with sin, beaten up, destroyed by evil practices and ungodly living from generation to generation. Murderers, people sitting in jail, failures, drug addicts, mess ups. Let me just tell you, that is the genealogy of the life of sin in this world. Amen. En ons ken sulke families en ek het so groot geword in my familie because we didn't know Jesus. You know, when I go into the prison and I'm ministering to the prisoners there, I say to them, the difference between you and me is I didn't get caught. That's why I'm not here with you, Oaks. But the fact of the matter is, there was this lifestyle of failure. He's reading all this genealogy and then he reads about this man, Jabez. Now, please hear what I'm going to tell you now. Then, there's this meeting with Jesus and everything changes. You have this mess up. Terrible life, ungodly living, drunkards, druggies, messing up. Jesus. And from that moment, listen to me, no more curses, only favor, blessing, prosperity, breakthrough, peace flows from generation to generation. The story of Jabez, where Jesus, the blood of Jesus, enters into the lineage of your genealogy. Let me tell you something. There is power in that wonderful presence of Jesus in your family tree. And when you begin to thank God, you and your children in your home will be saved. You will be blessed. You will be anointed, man, because who? Jesus entered in to that genealogy and he broke that curse of all that nonsense. And you can look forward to a victorious, blessed, peaceful, joyful, exciting life. Let's give God a hand. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Even though his life was overshadowed and associated with pain, because Jabez means pain and sorrow, in spite of life being hard for Jabez, listen, he turned out pretty neat. He didn't say, oh, you know, I had ingrowing toenails, so I can't really praise the Lord, man. They didn't make excuses for it. People looked at him, they even named him as a pain. Is jou naam pain? Of gedraai jy in jou net soos a pain in die nek? But this, I had this, but in spite of all, this is a very good news for you and I tonight. When we realize that there's hope. So Jabez asked God for things he wanted so he could live, listen to me, a courageous life. That was his prayer to God, a courageous life. So tonight I want to take you through his prayer. And let's have a look at what he prayed and see how it associates with our lives. Number one, Jabez wanted God's blessing and he prayed this prayer. He says, oh, that you would bless me. Oh God, that you would bless me. Can I just say this to you tonight? When you're a child of God and you've given your heart to Jesus, God wants to bless you. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I will show you in Scripture. Ephesians 1, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, who were idol worshippers, living a debauched sexual, a bad life, and worshipping all sorts of stuff, and never worshipping the living God. And these people get saved. They come to Jesus, and now they're living to God, and their genealogy and their families change, and they love Jesus, and they're serving Jesus. And he writes these words, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Want jy sien, hy is die antwoord vir die lewe vandag. And then he says, this Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, say blessed us, in the heavenly realm with every, how many spiritual blessings? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Because you see, church, we need to understand this. Our behavior and our lifestyle positions us for blessing. Our behavior positions us for blessing. Listen, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, verse 9, the first verse says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. You know what? He chose to live a righteous, upright life. His life was honorable. You know, I love explaining it this way, and I've done it before, but you see, in the American gridiron football, the most crazy, stupid game I've ever seen. But what I have noticed about that crazy, stupid game, I hope there's no Americans here, I'm going to offend you, I'd say. I think our rugby is crazy too, but that's weird. So now everybody knocks everybody out the way and want to throw a ball. But have you ever seen this?
They go, huck, huck, up, zibla, number, number, and they hoy a ball, and the oak behind you catches the ball. And then one oak tears like blazes down the line, and he hoys and he dodges and he dodges. And the oak watches him and watches him and watches him, and eventually he throws the ball. And what does he do? He positions himself before I fall, yeah. He unpositioned, and he positions himself and he gets the ball, and he runs over the line, and he scores a goal. Can I tell you about blessings? You need to be positioning yourself by the way you live, so the blessing of God can come on your life. The problem is we're not positioned for blessing. We're cropping in anagata where we shouldn't be. And that's why we wonder why our lives is not blessed. Amen. Don't speak and live unbelief. It will rob you of God's blessing. But when we see you again, then you're living this ungodly life. You cannot expect God's blessing if you behave like that. Amen. Some of you can say hallelujah, and some of you can right now say, Aina. Man, is this good or what is this? This is fantastic, because this is to encourage us tonight to be courageous and pray courageous prayers. The second thing Jabez wanted from God, you see, Jabez wanted God's influence. Oh, who wants God's influence in their lives? Prepare yourself. Can I ask you to do this? Don't pray this if you're not ready. Because you know what? God will take everything out of your life that's blocking the influence. You don't want to go there. No. Here, gebruik my here. And then tomorrow, all hell breaks loose at the office and everybody's against you. Oh, the devil is weer los, man. Meantime, God saying, hey, wakker word. Ek is bezig om jou te train, so my broertje. No, what can I mean? He wanted influence. He says, enlarge my border. In other words, listen, he understood something. And I want you to understand this tonight. Please hear, two words. There's more. Say it. There's more. When it comes to God in your life, there is so much more. You haven't even tapped into what God has for us. Do you really believe that? It's a fact of life. He didn't want to be an average church sitter. Hy wou nie net 'n bankie in 'n kerk om warm maak. Party ons kom eers een keer in 'n skrikkeljaar. But he, some sit here and then they go home and hardly read their Bibles, hardly pray, but they have this affinity, and I know Jesus, hallelujah. No. We're talking about a relationship with the living God who graciously came to live in me when I said yes to Jesus. My lewe het verander. Ek lewe nie meer vir myself nie. Ek lewe nou vir die koning van die heelal. Amen. I'm talking about he's not just Jesus my Savior. No. He's Jesus my Lord. I submit myself under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dis nie meer wat ek wil nie. Is wat hy wil. You see, this is Skeitsmeer, the dividing wall. Why am I talking Afrikaans? Maybe there's a boerkie wat dit moet hoor vanaand weer. That's the dividing wall between the victory and the blessing and having God's influence in my life and not having it. Amen. You need to be a contagious Christian. Amen. He wanted to be a history maker. He wanted to be a difference maker, this matter. No matter what your past is, God wants to increase your influence. Amen. Stop being past possessed and start becoming future focused. That's what we need to be doing, church. We need to be doing this. Listen, Isaiah 54 verse 2 says it. Enlarge the place of your tent. Kyk, as jy tot so ver vanaand hierso, soveel van die Here weet. You say, Here, increase. Ezekiel asked, he wanted God to increase, enlarge my border, Lord. The Bible says here, enlarge the place of your tent. So if this is how you've lived, say, Here, ek vertrou u, want ek gaan myself nou daarso sit, Here. Amen. God, I want to make room for more of you, Lord Jesus, in my life. Amen. He says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Kyk, hulle is gemaak om tot hier te kom en jy is baie tevrede met hier. Maar nee, jy gaan nou jou tentjie bietjie wyer maak. So die dingetjie wat oor die tent kom, jy gaan hom nou bietjie rek. Are you in for some stretching, church? Are you in for some stretching? Because he says, and let your curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Spare not. Munispaarni, go for it. Jump out. Become a wet water walker. Stop being a dry boat sitter. Lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes. Why? Because I've said again, in Christ Jesus, there's always room for more. That would not stood in the Bible if it were not possible. The day they called me to come into the full-time ministry, little did I know where God would take me. He's in. You talk about stretched. Hello. I can tell you about stretched tonight. I feel I'm so stretched that I don't know what to do anymore. I went to God. I said, God, what now? What now? Let me tell you something, but God, when it's about Him, He will take you to the next level, but you need to have faith to go there. Amen? We need to do that, church. So you ask God to bless him, and we need to be positioned for a blessing. If we want to have influence from God, and there's more, we need to enlarge our territory. God wants to do that. And third thing he prayed, he says, God, I want your power. God, I want your power. Lord, I want to plug into God's socket. Amen? I want to plug into the socket of God. Let your hand be with me, he says. I want your power. You know, there's a beautiful scripture here in Matthew. Matthew 28, we know it. Matthew 20:19. But verse 20 says, he says, go into the world, make disciples, and teach them everything that I've taught you. And then he says these words, verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I surely am with you always to the very end of the age. You know what he said in Acts 1, verse 8? He says, go into the upper room, wait, you will be endued with power to be my witnesses. Die krag van die Heilige Gees in my lewe enables me to do the things that God has called me to do. Amen. And that's why Jabez prayed. He said, God, I want your power. Let your hand be with me. Yeah, I mean, and this is an incredibly wise prayer. Amen. Would you agree? It's a wise prayer. Listen, Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord, Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Almighty God. Jy gaan dit nie in jou eie krag kan doen nie, nie deur mag of geweld nie. Even in our country, with the ruling of our country, humanistically speaking, we cannot solve it out, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God is nie God is not sleeping over the issues of our land. God is not sleeping over the issues of your life. God's concerned about the issues of your life. You don't know it, but He is. Amen. And He loves you and He wants you to increase. He wants to release His power in you. But God doesn't waste His power. I mean, how stupid is it to put power into something that's not working? Hello? When I'm moving and I'm grooving for Jesus, because that rhymes, then God will empower me, man. Amen. God doesn't bless the stationary. He blesses the moving. Amen. Philippians 4:3, I can do everything through Him who strengthens me. Ek kan alles doen deur Christus wat my krag gee. John 15:5, Jesus speaking, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears, listen to the word, much abundant fruit. Not just fruit, not just more fruit. But you know what God has in mind for you? Abundance, abundant fruit. He doesn't want you just to have a 30-fold opbrengst in your lever, not just 60. No, no, no. God has got 100% interest for you to bear for Him. The problem is we don't because we're not prepared. We're too bang to increase the boundaries. We're in bang to position ourselves for the blessing. But let me tell you something. There is no real life outside of this stuff. Honestly, jy net besig om godsdienst te baan te lewe. You're just living a religious life. But when you step out and say, God, I'm here to make a difference for you, Jesus. Use me. Because this is what he says. Apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. We need to be connected to the vine. Because when you disconnect yourself to the vine, you have all this wonderful religious stuff. He's Lord and He's the vine and He died on the cross, but I'm not connected to Him. Let me tell you something. The sap of the anointing cannot flow in you. You need to be connected. Hello. Connected is the word, yeah. Connected is the word. Yes, without God's presence, we can do nothing. We must live under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. He has a beautiful psalm in the Living Bible. Please, make a note of it. And you should write it wherever you can, because this is one of the great psalms that blesses me when I read it. And I'm going through stuff. I read this. And then listen to what it says. We live within the shadow of the Almighty. We are sheltered. We are sheltered. Can I say it again? We are sheltered by the God who is above all gods. Listen, this I declare. I declare it, that He alone is my refuge. Not man, not banks, not your boss, not your people, not things. God is your refuge tonight. Listen to me. Declare it. My place of safety is God. He is my God. I'm trusting Him. He rescues you from every trap, and He protects you from the fatal plagues. He will shield you with His wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Isn't that awesome? His faithful promises is your armor. Nothing can penetrate you, because you got the armor of God on you. And why? Because you're under the shadow of the Almighty. He is your refuge. Isn't it wonderful? Listen, you're blessed beyond blessing tonight, church. We're walking with this myriad of blessing that is just waiting to touch you. Position yourself for blessing tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Jabez, number four, the fourth part of his prayer. So relevant. He wanted God's protection. Anybody here want God's protection every day? Amen. Just a bit of the training. Can I see those hands again? Okay, let the sock. He says that, and would you keep me from evil so that it might not hurt me? Who knows that evil hurts us? Amen. Can I have a witness? Evil hurts you. I'm a witness. Because you know what? It defeats you. It defeats your testimony. It defeats your boldness. It robs you of confidence when you're busy with stuff you shouldn't be busy with. Amen? Yes? Yes? Am I talking to the people who know tonight? When you swear, lomp. Is it waarheid? You could be sitting here tonight, you know, Pastor. Trek jou tone so in, jy sê, los my nou uit. Our sins don't hurt God, they hurt us. We need protection from ourselves. We do. God doesn't change when I sin, I change when I continue to sin. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He has the blessing and the favor of my life. But when I begin to wander away in things in my life when I'm not being obedient, let me tell you something, that's where the problem comes. And he asked the God, he said, that you'll keep me from evil. What is evil? Not keep me from serving the devil and doing that. No. Evil, something evil referred to in the Bible, when you read the word evil, it means anything that is not in the purposes and will of God for your life. That's what it is. He says, no, I don't want to do that stuff, Lord, because you know what? I don't want that stuff to hurt me. God, help me here. Come and help me, Lord. So Jabez understood this prayer that Paul wrote to the Corinthians church, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. Do you believe He is? Because He is faithful. Listen, He will not let you tempted beyond what you can bear. You know, people say this. When you worry, niks sal met jou gebeur nie, maar God sal jou nie bo jou kragte versoek nie. And then they throw that whole thing out of context. Jy kan nie daar op die Empire State Building daar in Amerika staan en so, God sal jou beskerm. Nee, jy sal jou doodval. We cannot tempt God. Let me tell you something. We cannot tempt Him. He says He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But He's given us His principles. When I walk in His principles, then I can bear anything. But if I'm outside here playing with stuff which is not His principles, let me tell you something, it ain't going to help you. Are you hearing me tonight? You walk over into the hand of the enemy, into the enemy's camp. There's a good reason that we need to stand strong. The good reason why I pray this. And yet, the key to the last line in verse 10 of 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 4. Listen to these words. What does it say there? And God granted his request. Is it nie wonderlik nie? Hy het gebid in die geloof. He came to God. asked God to bless him. He asked God to fill his life. He wanted God's blessing. He wanted God's influence on his life. He wanted God's power. He wanted God to protect him from evil. And he prayed that, and the Bible says, God granted his request. You see, why? Because it wasn't a selfish, self-centered prayer, church. Hy het nie gebid dat hy homself net in 'n lekker paar cotton woole kan toemaak nie tot Jesus kom. Jy weet, baie Christene lewe so. They live, the word is the pan out theory. If we can just pan out of here. Here, kom nou asseblief. But you see, there is a life to be lived. There is so much victories to be won. There's a lot of overcoming to be had in your life and in my life. His desire was this, to be an abundant, fruitful, God-glorifying person that changed lives. Why? Because of his life. That's why God honored his request. He came in humility. Jabez. Yeah, they're reading this genealogy and they stop and they mention this dude by name and they tell about the prayers. He was, and they tell him what kind of character he was, and he says, God answered his prayers. Can I just say this? God will answer your prayers. Do you believe that tonight? God will answer. My question to you tonight, and I put it up over there, how willing are you to pray this prayer? How willing are you to pray this prayer to God? Say, Lord, bless me indeed. Are you willing to pray that? But if you are willing to pray that, then you need to understand, you need to position yourself in the fullness of God that he has for your life. You need to position yourself. Enlarge my area of influence. Lord, enlarge the area of my influence. Increase the boundaries. Start stepping out in faith. Stop the same old Christianity. It's getting you nowhere. Amen? Your Christenskap raak stagnant. Dis 'n goeie woord daai vir 'n Engelsman. Stagnant. Brak water. Vrot stink. Ruik nie meer lekker nie. That's how many Christians' lives are. Because they're not willing to keep moving for Jesus. Then he says, put your hand and your power upon me. You know that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been anointed by the Spirit tonight. Amen. And then he says, keep me from evil that it might not hurt me. But you know what? God will do that for us. But there's something you and I need to do. We need to move. Amen. Are you with me? Are you really willing to count the cost tonight? That's my question. Because if you do, life will never be the same again for you. You can take this word tonight. Go download it from our website. Get it on a stiffy. Get a CD. But listen to it. And begin to pray this prayer. Get into 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. And begin to read it. And begin to pray it. And begin to ask God. Because all things were written to encourage us through steadfastness and patience and endurance. We will have hope in God. May God really help us tonight. Kom ons buig ons hoofde in gebed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Once again for a man called Jabez. We thank you for a writer as he put down that genealogy and he picked up this man. And there was something so unique about him that it was worth mentioning. Not just a whole lot of names, but he impacted the world. Father, as you sent your son Jesus, who came into this world and you impacted this world, the world can never be the same again because of Jesus. But Lord, when you impacted our lives because of what you did on the cross, wherever we go, Lord, we are to impact the world with our lives. So tonight we want to come to you and ask, Father, that even as Jabez prayed that prayer, I pray that over each and every one of those of your children tonight that are sitting in this house, Lord, and maybe those that are listening by way of CD or technology. But I pray, Lord, that there will come a shifting in every heart and life tonight. That we will say, Lord, with confidence, there's more, Lord. I'm tired of the same old, same old. I want to move to the greater. If you want more from God in your life. Because you know, God has given everything already. He can't give us, He can't go do more. But the problem is, we need to want more and move into that more, because it's already available. If you want more tonight in that area, whatever area it is, to enlarge your tent tonight, for God's power to touch your life, to protect you from evil, to be blessed of God. If you want that tonight, I want you to stand before God right now and say, Lord, here I am. But Father, I make myself available. Say that to God, even as you're standing. Open. This is between you and God, not you, between you and me. I'm insignificant in this. I'm just God's messenger tonight. But say, Lord, I need a touch from your Spirit. I need a touch of your Holy Spirit in my life. It's so wonderful to see how many people stand up. And you do it because there's a Spirit in this place. And that precious Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. And you didn't just get up because everybody got up. You knew in your heart, Lord, there is more for me. And we're so excited about what you're going to do in every life that is standing right now. Lord, I just sense in my spirit such a confirmation that you're going to stretch the boundaries of so many people. And Father, that we will be prepared for the stretching. Because when stretching comes, Lord, and when blessing comes, it takes effort to be positioned. It takes a quality decision to lay down old stuff so we can take up new stuff. Almost like crossing monkey bars. You cannot leave the one unless, to grab the next one, unless you leave the one behind you. We need to leave what is in the past to take that which you have, which is new for your life. Come, Holy Spirit, now. Would you come and bring your anointed presence on every heart and every life that is standing before you? Would you allow, Lord, your strengthening anointing to touch people's hearts? Lord, may courage rise up in every life. May people become courageous to pray courageously the prayer even that Jabez prayed. But Lord, that our lives might be effective instruments in the Master's hand. We thank you for that. While we're in a time of prayer like this, I just want to do an altar call tonight. And what we mean an altar call is just asking. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's wonderful if you believe. But it's more than just believing. This Jesus I spoke about. You need to come to a place in your life where you ask this Jesus to come into your life. You need to ask Him to become your Lord and Savior. Because if you've never done that before, well, then you're not a child of God. You're not a child of God because you went to a church. You're not a child of God because you grew up in a Christian home. You need to become a child of God. How do you do that? By coming and praying and asking Jesus Christ to come in your life. If you want to do that in your year tonight, I want you to just slip up your hand high so I can see. If there's somebody that needs that prayer, thank you, my brother. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there anybody else that says, you know, I just want to connect with Jesus. You know what's so wonderful? I always say this, you know, and it's not just something I say. It's the best decision I ever made. Amen. Can I have an amen there? If it's the best decision you ever made, say amen. Amen. It's an absolute fact. Because you see, God, through His Son Jesus, comes and gives our life significance. No matter what we've done, no matter what the past is, God gives us a clean slate. Amen. And He'll help us get through life. Is there anybody else that said, Jesus, I want to give my life to you tonight. I'm sick and tired of this old life. Anybody else? Slip up your hands. High up. Let me see your hands. Who wants to say, thank you? I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. We're going to be in a time of prayer. And nobody's looking around, so we don't want to embarrass anybody. But we know that it's such an important thing. So we got people, very capable people, that would love to pray with you tonight. We want to hand you something to help you on this journey with your life. If you wouldn't mind, just to move out to the front over here, and our prayer warriors will meet with you. If you put up your hand, if you wouldn't mind, we're not here to embarrass anybody, but just come to the front and just a step of faith to say, Lord, I want to meet with you tonight, and we can pray with you. If you wouldn't mind, my brother, if you wouldn't mind to just step out to the front over here. If you put up your hand, please, don't be shy. People love you here, and we love you. And for everybody, if that lady that put up her hand, if she wants to come, Anybody else that wants to say, I want to walk with Jesus from tonight? Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we have one of our prayer warriors tonight? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Some of our prayer warriors tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Gina. Amen. One of our ladies to come pray for her. Thanks, Claudia. Is there anybody else? You know, this is probably the most important part of the whole evening, because let me tell you, you can hear a lot about Jabez, but if you're not with Jesus, you ain't going to go to heaven. That's more important. Amen? Yeah? It's true? So if you want to come and you want to give your life to Jesus, now's your time, chance. Amen. Father, I thank you for these beautiful people. Probably, Lord, in their hearts, not knowing exactly why, but just knowing I need Jesus. Because your Spirit, Lord, calls. People don't call. People don't save. Jesus saves. But tonight I want to pray that you would meet both of these precious people at their point of contact. That you, Father, died on the cross for their sins, and that you love them, and you proved it by the way you died for them. I want to pray that you will meet with them, Lord. And again, I just want to pray, Father, in this world when we go through all sorts of stuff in our lives that kind of happens, Lord, and the enemy tries to draw us away from you, I cut off all of that rubbish tonight in Jesus' name. I pray that the blood of Jesus takes hold of these precious lives tonight, and their lives will never be the same again. I thank you for that tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you wouldn't mind, Gina, if you wouldn't mind, take the guys. He'll just take you guys. Just go and pray with you guys. Thank you, Lord. Amen.